Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now in the UK, the Conservative Party has written to Prime Minister Keir Starmer demanding answers over the extent of Downing Street's knowledge of Peter Mandelson's links to the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. They've also called on Starmer to release documents relating to Mandelson's appointment as Britain's ambassador to the United States, including evidence showing how Number 10 reacted when they learned of his ties to Jeffrey Epstein. The whole affair has caused fury within the Labour Party about the pace of Number 10's response, and it's a headache before President Donald Trump's arrival to the UK this week for a state visit. Well, George Parker is with us now, political editor with the Financial Times. Good morning, George.
Morning.
How much pressure is Keir Starmer under today from both within and outside his party?
A huge amount of pressure. There are Labour MPs now talking behind the scenes, even publicly, about the fact that Keir Starmer has lost control of his party, of the government, and that basically he's got until next year's local elections in May to get a grip, or else, and the or else being possibility that he could face some sort of challenge to his leadership. So he's in a real pickle at the moment, and the whole Peter Mandelson affair, I think, has put up in lights some of the many concerns that Labour MPs have about his operation.
But will he manage to wriggle out of this if he can show that he didn't know the extent of Peter Mandelson's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein?
No, I don't think so, because it's caused him a lot of damage, regardless of the detail of what he knew when. Because what we do know is that when Peter Mandelson was appointed by Keir Starmer as Britain's ambassador to Washington in December last year, it was all in the public domain, partly thanks to the reporting by my colleague Jim Pickard at the FT, that Peter Mandelson continued to have links with Epstein after Epstein was convicted for child sex offences while he was in prison. So that was well known. That was in the public domain. And Keir Starmer took what one minister said yesterday was a risk, which they thought was worth it, to appoint Peter Mandelson nevertheless. So that was the original problem, that he was appointed in the full knowledge of the Prime Minister that he had continued these links with Epstein. And then there's a separate question about how quickly Starmer responded last week once details of those very excruciatingly embarrassing, shocking emails from Peter Mandelson to Epstein came to light. So is that the initial judgment of appointing Mandelson plus the swiftness with which he dealt with the problem once it became a big problem last week?
Now, there's a lot of attention focused on the Cork man, Morgan McSweeney, who's Keir Starmer's chief of staff, isn't he? And he has been pulling the strings, really, behind the scenes in Downing Street. But a lot of the blame for the Peter Mandelson situation is being laid at his door, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's the Mandelson affair really has put Morgan McSweeney under even greater pressure. So Peter Mandelson was a sort of mentor to Morgan McSweeney. They held many talks behind the scenes before the election. And you know, they would talk regularly. Morgan McSweeney was seen as someone who was instrumental in getting Mandelson the job in the first place and making the case for taking that risk and appointing Peter Mandelson. And now, you know, he's been blamed for that. Not just that, I should say, but also because at the end of last week, you'll recall Angela Rayner, the Deputy Prime Minister, had to resign as well over her tax affairs. That was followed by a very swift reshuffle, which is seen by some Labour MPs as Morgan McSweeney basically settling old scores, promoting his mates to ministerial jobs, sacking others who he'd fallen out with. And that's added to the pressure. So there's a lot of disgruntled Labour MPs around who were sacked or thought they should have been promoted. They're blaming Morgan McSweeney for that. And the Mandelson affair has really just added to the pressure on him.
And these backbenchers who say that Keir Starmer has until May of 2026 when the local elections happen, if Labour suffer dreadful losses then he'll be gone. Does he have that much time, or does he need to do something now more urgently to shore this up?
He definitely needs to do something now. You know, I think lots of MPs think it would be ludicrous for them to sack their Prime Minister after only a year. They're not as good at committing regicide as the Conservatives are traditionally, the Labour Party. So I think probably he will keep going until next year, but he does need to get a grip on his party and the government very quickly. He's hoping, Keir Starmer, that the visit by Donald Trump to Britain starting tomorrow will change the news agenda a bit and allow him to promote some of the deals that Trump and he are going to announce over the coming days to show that Britain remains an attractive place for inward investment. Then there's the Labour conference the week after, where he ought to make a really important speech. That's seen as a really big moment inside Downing Street, the moment when he tries to reconnect himself to Labour MPs and the Labour Party movement more generally. But, you know, these are very difficult times for Keir Starmer, and he needs to get a grip very quickly.
And all these stories I see over the weekend about the Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, who is lurking in the background, laying the groundwork, it's reported, for a leadership bid. Is that true?
Well, in Downing Street, they're watching Andy Burnham very carefully indeed. Someone was telling me this morning that he's a man with a plan. And the plan, obviously, is to try to find a way back from City Hall in Manchester and back down to Westminster, from where he can launch some sort of leadership challenge in the future. What is true is that Andy Burnham is someone who is regarded as to have done a good job as the Mayor of Greater Manchester. He's more to the left of the party than Keir Starmer. He's already putting out sort of statements which position himself, including calling for a wealth tax, for example. He's got a new organisation in the Labour Party called Mainstream, which is seen by many Labour MPs as being a vehicle for a leadership bid in the future. So people are watching him very carefully. The only trouble with Andy Burnham is he's not actually an MP at the moment, so he'll have to find a by-election to fight. And any by-election fought at the moment anywhere in the country, I would suggest, will be a problem for the Labour Party, given the strength of Nigel Farage's Reform UK.
So he's got a plan but no seat, so that's a problem for him. These deportation flights that we're hearing are going to begin this week from the UK to France. This is under this returns deal, which was made with the French government. I mean, clearly Keir Starmer will be trying to, won't he, capitalise on that? Will that work? Will that help?
I think it will help a bit. This will be accompanied by a blaze of publicity, I'm sure. People being put onto Air France flights back to France. It's going to be accompanied by a big advertising campaign in northern France, telling people, migrants, potential migrants, that they risk being returned to France if they do make the dangerous crossing. So, yes, I mean, look, I mean, Keir Starmer needs to address the question of immigration. He needs to show that he's taking action. Frankly, this only touches the sides of the problem. We aren't going to see huge numbers of people being returned to France. But at least in terms of the optics, it looks like he's got something up his sleeve, and he's actually making some progress. But you know, in practice, will it make a big difference to the number of people crossing the channel? I doubt it.
And is there concern amongst the people you've been chatting to about the Donald Trump visit and what he's likely to say about the sacking of Peter Mandelson? Because they got on quite well. That was the advantage of having Peter Mandelson there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, initially the Trump visit was seen as a problem to be managed in London. You know, who knows what Donald Trump's going to say when he's over here, and he's going to probably criticise lack of free speech or windmills or whatever it might be. Now it's seen as a potential positive for the government in terms of being able to change the conversation. The big problem, as you just mentioned there, is the fact that, of course, the sacking of Peter Mandelson over his links with Epstein just refocuses attention on Donald Trump and his own relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, which I'm sure will be a big feature of the press conference that Donald Trump and Keir Starmer hold on Thursday in at Chequers, the Prime Minister's country retreat. So I'm not sure Donald Trump will entirely thank Keir Starmer for putting that issue back in the headlines.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this news, but I see it breaking here in front of me that the Conservative MP, Danny Kruger, has defected from the Tories to the Reform Party. Is that something that was expected?
I must admit, I've not seen that. You're breaking news to me.
Oh, there
as well.
You go. He's holding a press conference right now, standing at a Reform UK branded desk, speaking live. So that's another one gone.
Well, another one gone. I mean, look, that's a big blow to the Conservative Party. Danny Kruger is someone who's been quite a respected sort of thinker on the right of the Conservative Party for some time. But you know, this is the worst nightmare of Kemi Badenoch, the Conservative leader. You get a drip of Tory MPs defecting, party donors defecting to Nigel Farage, just giving credence to this idea that Keir Starmer himself has been saying, which is that Reform UK, not the Conservatives, are now the real opposition.
Yeah, although I have been hearing lately that her performance, certainly in the House of Commons, when it comes to attacking Labour, has improved somewhat, and she seems to have found her footing and is on a bit of a roll. I mean, we've seen what's happened with Angela Rayner and with Peter Mandelson. But this, as you say, this drip of defections, it's awful for her.
It's absolutely terrible. We've got the Conservative conference coming up in a couple of weeks. It's going to be a difficult conference for the Labour Party leader, Keir Starmer. It is his conference in Liverpool. But I think the Tories, you know, face an even more difficult challenge at their gathering in Birmingham, because the Conservatives just feel like they're losing altitude all the time. They're polling in the teens now in the opinion polls. And the centre of gravity on the right is shifting very much in the direction of Nigel Farage.
Well, George, here's what Danny Kruger's been saying. I have been variously a member, an activist, an employee of the Conservative Party for over 20 years, and I've many friends in the party, many good and decent people, which is why it's so personally painful for me to be doing what I'm doing today. Also very painful to have someone like him so steeped in the Conservative Party to defect to Reform.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real coup for Nigel Farage. And you remember that at the Reform Party conference in Birmingham a week or so ago, they announced that Nadine Dorries was joining. Well, some people call her Mad Nad. I mean, she was a former cabinet minister, but nevertheless, someone who wasn't taken entirely seriously by some parts of the Westminster establishment. Danny Kruger, on the other hand, is on the right of the party and seen as someone who sort of thinks quite deeply about things. So I think that's a sort of quite, well, it is a very significant moment for the film.
Well, the headline from his press conference is that he has said the Conservative Party is over, which will be dissected, I'm sure, in the coming hours. George, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us. And that news just breaking that the Conservative MP has become the latest to leave the party and head to Nigel Farage's Reform UK. Who would have thought that this would happen? And as George has been saying, it's this drip drip of defections, which is so hugely damaging for the Tory party. Coming up, Downton Abbey, the finale hits the big screen, and Crossy will be here to talk to us about that and the other TV hit shows that made the leap to the cinema, plus student fees and increasing energy costs. Will Budget 2026 help with rising prices?
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.